F1A. Number 4B.
Now we take the index J. Now you already know what we are talking about. And so if this matrix is really a matrix, we have seen, there must also be a common denominator that goes through the horizontal line, so that those profits that we have on the first horizontal line, Hosea, Obadiah, Nahum, Haggai, you see those? That also those four have a common denominator. And that common denominator is what I tried to define, because I don't want anything to be final. I want that the scientist works through approximation and further approximation and further approximation, so that one doesn't feel, well, once I have stated it, and that's that for the next 2,000 years. I felt that those four on the horizontal line, that I said that they defined the divine purpose. The divine purpose defined. What they do is that they more or less define first to the human what those four verticals really want to accomplish. So they have a relationship always to the verticals, naturally. And first state, so to say, what really the verticals want to accomplish. So they first define, the word is always that which defines something, which gives first a proposition. I also want to use the term the proposition defined, or the proposition stated. They state what those four columns really want to achieve. That's the very first thing you have to do. Then the second horizontal, you can see, goes a step further. It is the enforcement of the translation. And you hear at once the Christ, the enforcement of the translation of two-ness into one-ness. Now, what that means, we will see very easily then when we know the text, and it is like a clear picture that stands there. But fundamentally, it is the problem that if the Christ comes to the human, that's the index J, that it comes to the human, then it comes to the human to do something in the human, namely to destroy in the human all that which is not right, to therefore to translate back into that which is right. And so you, in Christ, we always get that translation or retranslation, or translating back into the right. And that is what is being shown here, that everything that is not of the nature of those verticals is therefore a dualistic sense, and Christ here, the horizontal, will show how the Christ translates the opposing sense of the vertical into the true sense of the vertical. Is that clear? Can you reason abstract, in an abstract way, as quickly as that? Yeah? Okay. If you say yes, I believe you, though I'm not quite sure. Then you ask yourself, well, what happened with that which was not right? That which was not right must disappear, or it still lingers there, and we still have a dualism. So the third horizontal shows the disappearance of evil, the disappearance of the counterfeit, that which made up the two-ness, the disappearance of evil, and therefore the appearance of good and that is rendered inescapable. So evil has no chance to escape it. Under the impact of the Christ, that translation will go on and has as its effect, always when you hear effect, it's Christianity, the outcome of the Christ idea, as its effect, that the wrong disappears, the false, the material, evil, whatever is a counterfeit, disappears from the scene, is being destroyed, so that only the right idea is left over. And you have in those four prophets, Amos, Micah, Zephaniah, and Malachi, in a very wonderful sense show how the false sense of the vertical completely disappears and the right sense of those verticals is established. Then we come to the last horizontal. The last horizontal is the science, the understanding of God, which shows what? Which shows that what we have seen in the Word, in the Christ and Christianity, in this index J, in the relative sense, that is not something mystical. That it has nothing to do with mysticism and a mystical process or method or anything, but that happens, and that happens not somewhere in the paradise or somewhere in the life after death or anywhere, but that it happens in understanding. The place where all this happens is in the understanding of man, in the understanding which we have of God. So the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they all talk about understanding. They show four kinds of understanding, four phases of understanding, and say that we have to understand the operation of the Christ idea. Yes. Okay. Now, what can we see further? In order to show that the index I is the dominant in our matrix, I have also put on top in the columns Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science in capital letters, in big capital letters, whereas I printed the index J, Word, Christ, Christianity, not all in capital letters. The first letter of the word is not bigger than the other letters. And you see that right from the printing aspect, I have try to bring out also which one is the dominant in it, so that we can see that if we are dealing with a problem, that we really can say, I go out from the dominant part, I go over these prophets vertically. It is different when I go through the prophets horizontally, because then I have a different question in view. Okay, now this has been very theoretical, very intellectual, and very abstract. Now I like to go a step further and try to bring in first a little bit of the spiritual sense of it, and then again, a little bit more of the spiritual sense of it, and perhaps with some more illustrations from the prophets, so that we get into a kind of a spiritual flow. So, if up to this point you could, in some measure, have an intellectual concept of the matrix, and I'll go through it again with a higher touch of the spiritual. Let's take first again the index I. The index I. Why are those four verticals epitomized the way they are? We leave out now the wrong ones and take the right ones. Why are they epitomized the way they are? Can we see that all four have a Christ touch? Because it's the Christ matrix. Or perhaps I should even ask another question before that. Sorry, I went one step a bit, perhaps too fast. Let's first say, do we recognize in the index I really an I, a touch, a sense, an idea of Word, of Christ, of Christianity and science? So we take the Word, the monopotency of God, good. Can you see in it that tonality, now I begin to speak about tonality, that the tonality of that epitome has a Word touch? Can you see that? Could you explain that to me? Now, I'm not going to ask you because the acoustic is not good enough for having a seminar type of conversation in it, but I'm going to ask questions which you can think over for a few instances, and then I answer it. Am I not very good to you? Huh? But these are the questions you have to ask when you are going over your notes for the next few months or whenever you do that. Why can we say that the monopotency of God, good, is epitomizing Word? Well, the Word is always the Logos, is always what centers around the nature of God Himself or itself. Here we have at the focal point God, good, and define God as what He is, as the only power. So can you see the focal point is on God, which is the Word? Whenever we are asking what is God, it's the question of the Word. When we go to the next column, which is the Christ column, we have there the manifestation of the Christ likeness. Now, you have to ask yourself, if I hadn't put there in that column Christ, could you recognize in that epitome the Christ touch? Yeah, you could have, because it's a Christ likeness, you could have said, well, that's it. But actually, it's more than that. It is manifestation. You know that the Word always has a Christ which says, I'm a Word and I want to manifest myself. The moment you have a sense that something goes out from God, that the power and the impact goes out from God to the universe, you have the translation of God to the universe, from God to idea, and you get that power sense that expresses itself and manifests itself. That's the Christ, which says, I don't let the Word just stay the Word, as if it would be a stagnant, sterile thing there that doesn't move. Now, this is a great dynamic. The Christ gives to that work a great dynamic sense. Says that the Word doesn't just stay there and say, I'm the Word, okay. Now, it has within itself the impulsion to express itself. It's a self-expressing power of God that is the Christ. So you hear spiritually already the calculus at work, which says there is a God who is good, that has a Christ that expresses itself and out of itself, by itself, without the help of anybody else, without the help of people, without the thinking people. It does it by itself. It has a manifesting power. Then we come to Christianity, to the tonality of Christianity. We have here the preservation of the idea. Now, could you see why this is Christianity if I hadn't printed it there? What is the focal point here? The preservation of the idea. The focal point is idea. And the moment we have the focal point on idea, we have the focal point on the effect, on the outcome. The idea is not God. The idea is not the Christ. God is God and has a Christ that manifests itself as what? As idea. As a universe of ideas. That's the outcome. So you have the cybernetic flow of input and say, what is God? The processing of it, the second one, the Christ, and then the output of it as ideas, a universe of ideas, which is here in the focus, so that the idea remains idea and remains idea eternally. Then we come to the last column, the operation of the idea in its principle. The idea is brought back to God. You have in the cybernetic circle, you have the bringing back of it, you call it the feedback of it, coming right back again to the Word. And this is the important point. If it would not be brought back, transferred back to the Word, it would be an end. Christianity would be an end, and would be an end by itself, for itself. But if it's brought back to God, it says that idea is only an idea if it operates as a feedback to God, so that we have a better sense of God, a higher sense of God, a greater understanding of God, and from there can go on again. In an infinite spiral form of feedback circle, always spiraling up and up, further and further. So you can see that this has the tone of science, namely the principle and idea is one, and that the idea is only then an idea when it is found in its principle, or else an idea is not scientific if it's not found in a principle. Yes. Is that clear? I ask this question so often I know I'm a fool. I shouldn't ask it because you can't answer me back. And even if it's not clear, you would say, yes, it's clear, because nobody wants to be found out, not to understand it. But let's just sit back always and say now, let's get the spiritual flow of it. You know, little by little we must put into the letter some kind of a spiritual atmosphere, a spiritual touch, so that in a way we feel, spiritually feel, really the signs of it, not the emotional sense of it, the religious sense of it, not the biblical sense of it, but the scientific sense of it, which says, okay, there is a Christ. And the Christ operates here, in this instance, as a calculus of the Christ in absolute Christian science. What does it tell us? If we sit back and have nothing to read and just listen to the infinite, and listen to what's going on in reality, and say, what's going on in reality? Then there is the Christ matrix, the Christ idea, which says, you know, just see that God is omnipotent. that there is only one power, and that is God, and that one power alone is good and only good. And you fill your thought with that starting point, which you begin to imbibe, so to say, spiritually within you, and you feel, all right, so I can drop everything, I can put it away, everything that seems to be evil and so on. I don't have to listen to that. I just can turn to the verities of being, to the reality of being. And in that reality, something says there is only one God, there is only one principle, that's an omnipotent principle, and that principle is always only good. And therefore, you flow to the next one, to the Christ, and say, and feel, and that good is brought out in through the Christ by bringing out only the good to the people, to every point in being, so that you have a manifestation of that God good through the Christ as that which manifests only its likeness all over the place, so that nothing unlike God can come out of the world. So the Christ is that which channelizes and says only that which is of the nature of good is manifested everywhere and certainly is manifested in each one of us. And you get the first translation in the textbook from God to man as idea. So you feel that you are constantly under the blessing and the stream of blessing of one God good coming to us as the Christ manifesting in each one of us in every situation, for every purpose, in every problem, only the likeness of God good. Then you have touched the Christ there. Then you go on and say, and that what that Christ brings out in me in every situation as the likeness of God, that is of the nature of idea. That has the nature of Christianity. That remains. That will be preserved. That can never be touched. That can never be hurt. That can never become diseased. That can never die. That can never be destroyed. That remains what it is. And it remains untouched. And you have the safeguarding of the idea, and you feel you are safe in that realm. And then comes the crux of all things, which says, and this all I want, not for myself. Science says, and that is something which we should culture and love and ponder and welcome, and give all our love to it for the purpose of bringing out the beauty, the glory, the majesty of God, of principle. So that we see principle always in a higher sense, in a more finer sense, refined sense, see more and more the whole details of that system of principle and the structure of principle. And then it is a new starting point through feedback for a completely new vision. And so you have to go over that. See, these are the things you should not read. These are the things you should read once or twice, but then ponder them 1,000 times. In this way, you see, we culture ourselves into thinking in categories. I was now thinking in the category of the Christ in absolute Christian science as a calculus. That's a category. It's not just picking out one of those nice points and saying, this is wonderful, I like that, but you begin to train your consciousness to think in the category, in categories, naturally here, in the category of the Christ in absolute Christian science. and you flow through those main points. Now we begin to see what we had this morning, that the matrix is that aid that supports the flow of reasoning, the flow of thinking, because it leads in an ordered way from the Word to the Christ, to Christianity, and to science. And you can see that if we wouldn't have that order, we would perhaps start with God, with the Word. But because we are interested in the idea, we would perhaps go right to the idea without the Christ sense. From the Word right to Christianity, because we are interested that the idea is preserved and safeguarded, that nothing happens to us, that we are protected. That is usually the very next point that we are interested in. But that is not possible without seeing that there is a relation between God and the idea, namely the Christ translation. And so we have to take that in. If we would not know the order, we would stop at Christianity and say, that's fine, I go and apply it to my individual problems so that I can have a better business, that I can have a healthier body, that I can have this and that and the other. And so we would destroy the purpose of the idea, which is to bring it back to principle, to glorify principle with it. The moment we glorify principle with it, then we bring the index J into operation. And there we find also included the answer to all our individual problems. So we don't exclude the solution of individual problems. We don't exclude the solution of erroneous problems. But we start out from another basis than to go right at the problem and try to solve the problem with ideas. We first fill our thought with the index I, and establishing consciousness, a spiritual flow, a spiritual touch, a spiritual atmosphere, which just flows through a whole category without any breaks in it, and say, golly, this is wonderful. I can leave my problem behind myself, put them away, and just look into the infinitude of being, where I see that Christ has what? He has a word, and he says, God is only good. You will see it's only good. And has the power to bring out only good. And that word has a manifesting power, the Christ, and brings out everything in the likeness of that good. So you are at peace within yourself. Your heart is at peace. And says, and what it brings out is the right idea, and that will not be touched by any situation. And that idea is going to show you the greatness of your principle. Will reveal to you more about principle. That's demonstration of the principle. Yes.